How many of you like to sing? Yeah, lots of you. Singing's a lot of fun, isn't it? There's something about singing that oftentimes fills us with joy and excitement. It is a way of expressing our emotions and just getting them out of our heart and into the air, into the world. You know, when we think about singing in our society, there are times that we sing. We can kind of sing anytime we want. Sing in the shower or sing as we're walking along the road. But very few times do we come together and sing with others if it's not at church. So we have times like at Christian concerts, or not Christian concerts, just concerts in general, where we join together with the crowd and go to hear other people play music that we enjoy. And because we know the words, because we love the songs, we may join in and sing along. But it's an opportunity to join with others who have a common interest of this music and this band, and to have a good time together. Maybe you like to sing in the car, and you're like this as you drive down the road, rocking out to the music. And it's a fun time if you have other people in the car. I know my mom and I, as kids, love to sing Amy Grant songs together. We'd crank Amy Grant and really belt it out. Different time, though, for sure. And we'd listen to oldies, but not oldies like now you think 80s music, oldies like 50s and 60s music. But singing is a lot of fun. But when we come to church, it's almost kind of a thing that's weird for many of us, because especially if you don't go to church on a regular basis, you come together, we gather as this body, and we sing. Sometimes that feels uncomfortable because we're not used to necessarily singing in public. We're not necessarily used to singing with people we don't know, or we aren't very comfortable with our voice, and so the idea of being heard makes us a little self-conscious. And so there may be times, if you've grown up in the church, you just take it for granted that this is what we do. But if you are, if ever been in a place where you are new to a church or new to Christianity, you may ask the question, well, why do we actually sing in church? Is it like a concert where we're going to hear songs that we enjoy, and so we may happen to just sing along if we like, or may not, but the goal is to listen? Or is it something else? Is it something like singing in the car, where it's supposed to just be a fun time, a raucous time where we are just having fun together? Well, sometimes those things are true when we gather together as the church. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it to our singing than simply having a good time or simply hearing songs we like. So why exactly do we sing? We're doing a series through the summer about the things we do here at church. We're calling it Gathered. And this idea that God has called us together as a gathered people, the church, and that when we come together for a reason, we come together for a purpose, and the things we do here are meant to help us move forward in that purpose of growing in Christ-likeness, growing in relationship with God, but then also being equipped to go into the world and serve God with our gifts, with our passions, with all that he has given us, so that we can let others know of who he is. So how does singing help us do this? How does singing help us to grow in our relationship with God? How does it help equip us to go out and serve? Well, there's a few things that I think happen when we sing. A few reasons why. The first is that we sing to respond to God. We sing to respond to God. We just heard Psalm 100 read, And it starts out with these words, shout to joy, or shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. This is not something new that has happened in recent church history. Singing together has been part of what the people of God do as they gather all the way back to the very early days of Israel, and even before that. Come into God's presence. Come with shouts of joy to the Lord, all the earth. This psalm goes on to say the two reasons I think we have cause to shout for joy. The two things that we're responding to as we come into God's presence. The first is that we're responding to who he is. In verse 3 it says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Many of you in this room, either because you experienced it firsthand and watched it on the news as it was happening, or because you've seen it on TV, but know what it was like when the Beatles first came to the United States. When they came off the plane, huge crowds of fans were there to meet them. And what was the reaction of those fans when they saw the Beatles step off the plane? Was it kind of like, well, there's the Beatles. So glad they're here. No, it was like, they're crying. The people are just crying. They're so happy that they're there. It's almost like, oh, it's so over the top. It just is ridiculous. Their favorite band has come. Finally. When we come into the presence of God, there's a point where we need to think about the fact that we're coming in the presence of the greatest being in the universe. The one who's created us, the one who has made us, the one who loves us, who's saved us, who's making a home for us for eternity. We come into his presence and what's our response? Well, I guess I'm at church again. One more day. It was a hard morning. Hard to get up. But I'm here, I made it. Or is it, I can't wait to be in the presence of God. I can't wait to sing praises to him. I can't wait to shout for joy to him because he is so amazing. He is so wonderful. He's done so many great things in my life. I just need some way to express it, and I can't fully express it on my own. The psalmist says, come and shout to God. Shout for joy to the Lord. Acknowledge who he is, that he is God, that he made us, that we are his possession, that we're his people, his sheep, the ones he cares for, the ones that he guides, the ones that he nurtures. Singing is an acknowledgement of that greatness. When we sing our songs to him, we are coming and remembering truths about God, his holiness, his faithfulness, his goodness, his power. Together we bring our voices as one and shout to the Lord. But there's another thing that we are doing as we come together responding to God, and that's not just acknowledging who he is. Even if that was all we were acknowledging, that would be enough to fill us with an incredible amount of excitement and just fill us with an amazing amount of joy. But we also recognize what he's done for us. It says in Psalm 100 verse 4 and 5, I have 3 there, but 4 and 5, enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name, For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his presence filled with gratitude for what he has done, remembering the things that he has done. Ready to thank him. Ready to honor him. You know, the thing is that oftentimes we come to church and when we start to sing, the center of our focus is, it may take a little while for it to get to be on God. But when we come in and the focus is on who we are and on what we've done, how we feel, what we like or don't like, that shifts very much our attitude about worship, about joining together. When the focus is on me, it's easy to start to get wrapped up in things like personal preference, frustration, boredom. It can lead to complaining and it can lead to all sorts of things, but it doesn't lead to discipleship. It doesn't lead to growing in relationship with God. But the psalmist says, if we're focused on him, who he is, what he's done, what he is going to do and is doing in our lives, when he becomes the center of our attention as we enter into the sanctuary and sing songs to him, all of a sudden our attitude shifts from one of frustration to one of joy. From one of worrying about the way we want it to be to worrying about the way that he wants it to be. Focusing on not everyone else's heart, but on my own heart. Wanting to bring him the best that I can bring. But how do we get our minds as we come into church around God? Because we're busy, especially on Sunday morning, it can get really hectic. And the simple reality is that if we're going to let our singing do what it needs to do, if we're going to truly respond to God when we sing together, it's truly going to come out of our hearts, it requires some preparation. It requires some thought to get ready to come to church. It could be something that happens throughout the week. It could be something that happens the night before. It could be something that happens just as you're in the car on your way to church. But there's three things that I think that you can do to help yourself respond to God better when you come on Sunday morning. And I don't have them on the screen, but you can write them down. The first is pray. Pray that God would show up and that he would remind you of all the things that he's done, that he would remind you of who he is, that you would encounter him as you come to church. Pray with expectation that something's going to happen, that you are going to experience God as we gather. The second thing is to remember. Take some time to think back on your week, to reflect on even just that small a portion of time. Think about, how have you seen God at work in your life? How has he come through for you? How has he shown you his love? How has he used you in others' lives? How has he shown you grace when you failed? You can make a list of God sightings that you can write them down and so that you can have an ongoing place where you can go back and remember the work of God. You might, as a family or with your spouse, you might want to spend some time, even again, just in the car on the way home or on the way to church, talking about how have we seen God and sharing different stories about God's goodness in your life. Or maybe the times that you've needed God and you felt his presence near. Remembering is an important part of being able to respond. If we come and don't remember anything that God has done, if we're not thinking about who he is, how can we respond to it in song? The third thing is just to imagine. So pray, remember, and imagine. One thing that my junior high Sunday school teacher told me way back when I was in junior high was had to do with prayer, but I think it works here as well, is that he told me to use my imagination as I pray, as I close my eyes, to think about God sitting on the throne in front of me, to envision myself in the throne room of God. We see visions in Revelation of God on his throne. We never see God as a person. We just see this image of bright light, this his glory shining. Isaiah talks about his robes filling the temple. This idea that God is so much bigger than we can imagine, but just even imagining being in that place near God can help us begin to focus our minds as we enter in and believe that we're entering into his very throne room. Again, this isn't to say that we're not in God's presence outside of the church. We are. But there's a special thing as we come, as we focus our minds, that our imagination can really be used as we come to him in song. It might be, and some of you are more comfortable with this than others, part of the imagination part of what we can do with our imagination is also use different postures to remind ourselves or get ourselves into that mindset of being in God's presence. You can close your eyes. That's a very simple thing that you could do and use your imagination that way. You could raise your hands, as Tyler a couple weeks ago talked about, raising holy hands. You could raise your hands, and that could be a way of reminding you that you are available and open to the Lord. It may just be it may be looking up. It may be all sorts of different things. You may maybe not dance. We're Covenanters. We don't dance a whole lot. But if you feel like doing something in your pew, or maybe you could just even sway a little bit to get into the singing. But all these little posture things we can do to get ourselves thinking, I am worshiping God. I'm in the presence of God. I'm coming before God, and I'm responding to him, not just singing a song, not just hearing the worship team play a song, but responding to God in my words and my voice. If you can't sing, if you feel like it is, you don't know the words, even just listening to the words and praying those words yourself to God and reflecting on them can be a way that you can respond to him. Also, one of the things that the Bible says, or the psalmist says oftentimes, and I know I've heard this from many people, this is probably spoken to some dads in the room to work Father's Day into this a little bit, which it's not at all. But I've heard a lot of people, especially men, say, I just don't feel comfortable singing. I don't have a good voice. I don't think that it's really for me, so I just stand and listen. And that's okay to a point, but the psalmist often says, make a joyful noise. He doesn't say, make a beautiful harmony or make sing, only have your best singers sing. He says, make a joyful noise. Just turn your heart to God, and whatever comes out, be okay with that. Be okay with that. Even if there's someone around you that goes, huh? Don't worry about them. You're singing to God, and that's okay. Okay, so we're responding to God. That's the first thing that's happening when we are coming together to sing songs. But the other thing is that songs encourage our hearts. That when we respond to God, we are encouraged. We're built up. We're strengthened. We're empowered to continue on living for him. When we look at Acts, There's a story in Acts where Paul and Silas go to Philippi and they are arrested for speaking about Christ. And when they are sitting in jail, the story goes like this, or it just says in Acts 16:25, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Paul and Silas were in a pretty bad situation. They didn't know really what was going to happen. They had a little ace in their pocket that they were Roman citizens, and they knew that that might be helpful for them, but they really didn't know the kind of treatment they would receive the next day. And so instead of worrying about it, instead of getting discouraged and filled with anxiety, they decided to sit and sing songs together. The songs reminded them of God's faithfulness. The songs reminded them of God's presence. It reminded them of who God is. It was their response to God in worship, but it also was a way for them to encourage their own hearts as they sang. The same happens with us as we come to sing together, as we lift our voices to the Lord, as we respond to Him. Our remembering all that He is and all that He has done encourages us. Think about your favorite song to sing in church. Do you have one? Why is it your favorite? It might be that you like the melody, or it might be that you like the words, but I think that a lot of us, our favorite songs are songs that have some more emotional attachment to our lives. Songs that make us remember. Songs that bring us back to a place where we saw God work, or where we felt close to God. I think about many different songs in my life. One that I sing to my children, and I've mentioned this before, is Children of the Heavenly Father. It reminds me of my mom singing to me. It reminds me of my grandma who sang that song to me as well, and sang it in Swedish. It has this way of taking me back to childhood and is filled with good memories. This is the same with camp songs. There are songs I remember when I was in camp and we were singing Pharaoh, Pharaoh for like the umpteenth time, and my counselors who had heard it already millions of times that summer ripped up the board with the words on it and threw it in the fire because they were like, we're done with Pharaoh, Pharaoh. And I'm sure they had to go write up another board with the words for the next week. But still, when we sing Pharaoh, Pharaoh, it takes me back, more so than what it's about, but just takes me back to camp long ago. I have songs that I sang in the church I grew up, songs I sang at Bible college, in seminary, songs that unite me with other people, unite me with my family, unite me in ways that have emotion attached to them. And this is a good thing. This is why I think that we can get so frustrated when it comes to worship, when we start to try and bring in new songs, just bottom line, when we come together as throughout all generations, there are songs that are different for each one of us. The songs that encourage us, the songs that are sentimental to us. They all are different for each group and even for each individual. And we come together and we feel like, well, my song, the one I love, the one that meant so much to me, isn't sung anymore, or I just don't connect with this song or that song. It can feel really frustrating. It feel like my memories, my emotions are just being pushed aside. And this is what's really been at the heart, I think, of a lot of the worship wars, so-called worship wars, over the last multiple decades, more than just content of the song, more than just how the whether it repeats a lot. There's the sense of the songs that connect with my heart are not being sung anymore. I mean, I think about this even with my own songs, songs that I loved as a kid and as in my teenage years and my college years. They're songs that aren't sung anymore, even though we sang them to death, and that's part of the reason why they aren't sung anymore, because they were sung to death. But in all this, when we think about this from a discipleship standpoint, there's the sense of these songs encouraging us. And we have to recognize what it's encouraging us for. The purpose of the songs that we sing is to encourage us in our understanding of God and our relationship with God. And while it's important and good to have emotional connections to other times in our life, we have to be very cautious that our connections, our emotional connections, don't lead us over into sentimentality. And that's not just talking to one generation, that's talking to all generations. We don't want to just move into a sentimentality mindset where we think, well, this is what I enjoyed when I was younger, or this is the song I enjoy singing on the radio, or this is the song I enjoy, it reminds me of this time when I was at school with these friends that were close to me. The songs we sing need to remind us of God, of how God was at work in our lives, the ways that God showed up, the ways that He is encouraging us and reminding us of who He is. And the reality is that all of us are in order to have unity in the church, all of us give up certain songs and sing other songs. And at the heart of it is that we need to be looking at those how the songs remind us of God. You know, we sang several different songs in earlier on in the service, songs that talked about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, that through every battle, through every heartache, through every circumstance, I believe that God is our fortress, our provider, our protector. And we sang at the same time, "Great is thy faithfulness." Both of those songs, the way they work well together, is both of those songs talk about the faithfulness of God. They talk about His provision for us when things are hard. It talks about His presence in our lives when things are tough. If we're able to let both encourage us, remind us of those times of faithfulness, all of a sudden it opens up this huge repertoire, I guess, of songs that really can be encouraging. Instead of just going to the ones I like and saying, well, these are the only encouraging songs to me, and these other ones, I could do without them. And again, this everybody feels this way from time to time. looking for those places in songs like "Great is Thy Faithfulness," or looking in those places in songs like "The Way," and saying, where does this connect with my experience? How is God trying to encourage me here? It can help us be united in faith, united together. And this kind of leads us into the final thing, is that when we sing together, we're doing so to encourage each other. So when we come, we're coming into the church to focus on God first and foremost, that He's our primary focus. He's the one that gets all the praise, He gets all the glory, He gets all the honor. And by praising God, out of that we get some encouragement, we get some hope, we get some strengthening, because we remember His goodness in our lives. But as we also come into the church, we're also coming in as a community, and we have to come in thinking about the rest of the people here. We can't just think about ourselves. We just can't think about our own needs, our own wants, but to look at this as an opportunity to give for the sake of others. When we look at this next verse, Ephesians 5, 18b through 19 says, "Instead, be filled with the Spirit." It's Paul saying, don't get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. I think this is a really interesting verse, this idea of speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I always watch musicals and think it looks pretty silly when you really think about it, like when you walk up to someone and look, you're this close to them, and then you start singing in their face. You go, that's not how it works in real life. That's kind of the image I get when I look at this idea of singing, speaking to one another in song. But how many of you have been in a place where you have really been discouraged or really needed support, and you were gathered around by friends and you sang? Maybe you weren't even in a place where you could sing yourself, but others sang for you so that you were encouraged. I think this is kind of the image that Paul is talking about here, that as we come together, we can sing songs together. We can not only sing our own songs, but sing other people's songs to encourage them, not just the songs that encourage us. We can look to others as important, and to see how God has given each one of us different songs that encourage our hearts, different songs that speak of how our hearts want to respond to God, different songs that we need to hear at different times to remind us of who God is. Again, when we find songs being the source of division in the church, when the singing becomes more difficult and dividing rather than uniting, oftentimes it's because we are failing to think of it in this way. Songs are a way to encourage me. Songs are a way to speak to my needs, but not necessarily a way to serve and encourage one another. It's funny, though, because in most areas of life, when you think about singing in the car or singing at a concert or singing in other places, songs and singing always brings unity, not division. Become sad, though, that the church oftentimes finds that this isn't the case, and that separation is oftentimes more the result. But the reality is that we are always going to be singing new songs. We're always going to be expressing ourselves in different ways. We're going to be growing in our understanding of who God is. And at different times in our life, certain songs are going to mean more to us than other times. That's why the psalmist says to sing a new song to the Lord. You see it here: praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing His praises in the assembly of the faithful. In Revelation, it talks about that the saints and the angels are gathered around the throne, and they're singing a new song to the Lord. Songs are special to us, but singing is and songs are a tool for us to express ourselves to the Lord. And no matter, again, what generation we're in, we need to be very careful that they don't become an idol that we worship, but that they become a way that we share ourselves with others, share ourselves with God, and are able to encourage one another. It becomes an area where we practice generosity for the sake of unity. So how do we encourage one another? Well, one way is simply to sing. To sing out, to sing like you mean it. To not simply say, well, I'm not going to bother learning that song, or I'm not going to bother singing that song because it's just not for me. But to attempt to learn the songs that are special to others, whether they be newer choruses or whether they be hymns. To learn to enjoy different styles of music, recognizing that there are styles that are special and important to different people in our congregation. to learn to share songs with one another, not necessarily always just songs that we love, but to share songs that others might love with them. To see as an opportunity as we sing to give, rather than simply just an opportunity to receive. Ultimately, singing, even though it doesn't seem like it, is a way that we grow as disciples, a way that we're growing as followers of Christ, a way that we're growing as the church. We respond to the work of God. We acknowledge who He is and what He's done in our lives. We're encouraged in our hearts, and we encourage one another in our singing. And so singing isn't just the throwaway piece that just kind of sets things up for the sermon. Singing is a vital part of what we do together when we gather. A vital part of what it means to be the people of God. Vital way that we express ourselves to the Lord. It's my hope that we continue. I know Grace Covenant Church has been a church of singers and of singing. It's my hope that we would continue to be so. That we would give all praise and glory to God, shouting for joy for all that He has done. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank You so much that You have given us song, music, to express ourselves to You. That You fill our hearts with joy. And sometimes that just, the only way we can truly express it is to let it overflow from us in song. Lord, we just ask that You would forgive us for all the ways that music becomes a barrier to our relationships with each other. For all the ways that we put ourselves first rather than thinking about the whole of the church. Lord, it's not easy, but Lord, help us to see the ways that we can encourage one another, build up one another, strengthen one another as we offer our songs to You. So Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.